Hello and welcome to the penultimate Unmissables podcast featuring me, Boyd Hilton, you, Stephanie Seelan, and him, John Harris. Your actual name, John.
His name is John Harris.
You're known as John Dan for running joke reasons.
Running joke reasons.
Some idiot thought you were called Dan or something.
Well, that idiot's called Kay.
Oh, yeah, she's not with us.
The one who's not
so
here.
So we can talk about her.
She's currently in Guadalupe.
She's in Guadalupe. Having a jolly up.
Having a jolly up. Someone complained... Welcome, John, by the way.
Hello.
Someone complained yesterday on Twitter, one of my followers, that Kay didn't know enough about Death in Paradise to go and do a set. It kind of implied... not in a horrible way, just in a... But definitely mentioned.
I'm with them.
I thought, well, yeah, they've got a point.
I'm with them. Yeah. She's not a true fan.
No.
Didn't she have
like
to get the box set?
You're a true fan.
I'm a true fan. I love Death in Paradise.
So I just want to make that clear. We do have a true fan of Death in Paradise in the office. It's just that Kay isn't that.
But she's got the jolly up.
She's a professional.
I'm not suggesting
she's
not.
Homework by the time she got to the set in Guadalupe.
Yeah, but she's gone for the beaches. We all know that.
Yeah, that's true. And we should also say that she's doing a general travel piece, I think, on it.
So she says.
In which Death in Paradise is not a key element of the knowledge required.
Stop trying to justify sending her off to a beach with three bikinis and God knows
what. The other
thing
about this being penultimate, this isn't the penultimate chance you've got to listen to us droning on about TV and pop culture.
Oh no.
It's just we're renaming.
There's one more.
It's
confusingly, there's another one.
Well, I said penultimate, not ultimate.
Yeah. No, but there's one after that, confusingly.
Oh, there is one after that.
Oh, is there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
This is pedantry.
I could say that now, actually. I should tell them.
So,
what you have got to look forward to is we will be doing a special filmed Crime Unmissables podcast, and it is going to be all about crime shows and why we're so obsessed with true crime. And I've roped Boyd and Kay into doing it, even though they are not totally obsessed with true crime as I am. And we're going to have
a special guest, who's in the know. That's like a special one-off podcast, isn't it? Slash, it's really more of a video cast.
We're going to have to look presentable because it is going out on the YouTube.
But in terms of this classic format Unmissables, the classic format of us droning on about what stuff we've watched in the first bit, then talking about tweets and then having the meat of what we're actually reviewing and all of that, there'll be this and one more and then we're going to call it something else in a few weeks' time.
And
that's
gonna
the plan,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So the Unmissables...
Have we revealed what the renaming is?
No, I'm not sure.
We're not going to. We'll be reborn. Yeah.
We've come up with what can only be described as a hilarious name.
Boyd has come up with it. It's very, very good. And we could also run through the names that we aren't being called when we unveil the new name.
I don't know about that because people...
What if they like the other names more and we've committed? It'd be embarrassing.
I don't know about that. Anyway, today, I haven't even announced what we're reviewing today. I should do that and the menu. We're looking at yet another, I think possibly second or third week in a row, a Sky Witness show. Sky Witness is the new name for Sky Living.
I told you, ever since it's not become Living, Witness is so much better.
Witness, fine. You're the big, you love Witness.
It's true.
This is Instinct, which is a new very American crime drama starring the Brit, Alan Cumming.
Mm.
No.
The Scot.
No. Scot. But he's still British.
Do you know who his best friend is?
No.
Monica Lewinsky.
That's his best friend.
That is his best friend.
How do you know that?
Because I know stuff.
Okay.
My speciality is who other people's best friends are.
Oh, okay.
Boyd, who's your best friend? Me, Steph.
Yeah.
John's best friend is Kay, you know.
I thought you were going to say me, Steph. Yeah. And then we'd find out that she mostly thinks people are best friends with
her. I do mostly think people are my best friends.
We'll see. We're also reviewing Grayson Perry's new series. He's become a TV kind of regular now, doing his series about different issues. He did something about masculinity of men last year. Did you see that series? Did we review it, maybe?
I think we did.
Maybe, I can't remember, yeah. Anyway, this one's called Rites of Passage, and it's all about Rites of Passage.
R-I-T-E-S of Passage.
And finally, in massive contrast, as we like to say, Krypton, which is a new kind of American show, obviously set in the world of the Superman family. It's not got Superman in it. Don't spoil it.
I'm not spoiling it.
Okay.
But do you know what I mean? It's in the world, it's in the universe, it's in the DC universe, and it's in the Superman universe, but Superman himself isn't in it. But we'll get to the crux of it, and that's going to be on E4. And they're kind of trumpeting it in a major way. Like, they think it's a big...
Why?
Such a spoiler.
But why are they?
So you liked
because
it.
It's a big... They've clearly spent a lot of money, some money on acquiring it from American channel, and they want to yeah, it's going to be on Sunday evening.
Don't bother.
I mean, the association with Superman is a guaranteed audience of some kind.
But John Dunn, then they'll watch it.
We'll get to it later.
We'll get to it later. Don't spoil everything.
Okay, sorry.
Anyway, before all of that, in Time Honor tradition, what we do in the first segment of this format is we listen to each other talking about stuff we've liked in the week, and it often involves Steph telling us in great detail things she's watched minute by minute. But she's now, last week you were limited to, was it three?
I was allowed three, and then I was allowed one more, which was I was allowed to say, can I just say I also
watched. Oh yeah, the
watched.
Can I just say.
Okay.
So three plus the can I just say, which could mean as many as you want.
Right, I'm just going to do a quick count up. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm going to have to pick because I've got 5.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
I mean, to be honest, one
of them isn't really a one though. Okay, I'll just very quickly say that I finished Unforgotten.
So
have you finished it?
Yeah. This is a bigger issue though, isn't it? Because Unforgotten, we should say Unforgotten penultimate episode went out Sunday night.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have no idea what's going on in the real world, do you?
So no, I don't, because I watched it on the previews.
Right, let me make it clear. Unforgotten episode 5, penultimate, went out 2 nights ago, Sunday night, if you're listening to this Tuesday. Yeah. And the final episode is next week for normal people.
Fine.
Right? So I've seen it as well.
Yeah.
But we should either do a spoiler special, maybe, in our last one, which, because it is
I think it's worth it.
Definitely. Or you can now allude without any spoilers to
Spoilers, but I just want to say that I am. This is definitely like number two in the happiest I've ever been about endings. I was very pleased with the ending of this.
Ever?
Well, just in recent history.
Oh, you mean like we've talked about on the show?
You know how I was very unhappy with Kiri, and you know there were some things that I was just not happy with.
So I haven't watched this show, but based on those clues, I'm assuming things get wrapped up neatly.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Unforgotten, which I say, is it is a whodunit. It's a classic whodunit.
Okay.
Where each series, this is the third series now, there are suspects, and it's always one of the suspects. I mean, it's not going to mess about with that format.
It's not. It's just
It's not like, whereas Kiri, I think, is a drama in its own right. It's dealing with issues. It wasn't a whodunit, it's like why it happened as well as
who.
Right, whereas this is very much, we're going to tell you who did it.
But it,
and they do.
Still, yeah, they do, but it's still amazing.
Packs an amazing punch, always.
I'm very happy with it. But that doesn't really count as one. Can we just still agree, Zach? Because I've just told you I've watched it, but we're going to do a spoiler special.
Yeah.
So now I'll start my list for real. Okay.
One.
Right. So Sky Witness, my new favourite channel. I know we didn't review this in time, but For the People.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is so good.
Is it?
I really enjoyed
it. It's such a nightmare trying to get hold of that effing show. They wouldn't let us see it for, like, literally days on end, and in the end we couldn't do it on the podcast.
Is it Shonda Rhimes?
Shonda Rhimes.
Right, okay, so Shonda Rhimes one. It's absolutely... So it's basically, it's young... a group of young lawyers on either sides of the law, so prosecutors and
defenders
that's the word for them. So it's all about this
prosecutors
kind of
and non-prosecutors
prosecutors and non-prosecutors, and it's all about these two kind of, they're a big group of sexy young people,
of course,
and they're just trying to make their way in the law. And the girl that was in, do you know that, what was that thing that was nasty girl? The girl boss. Do you remember the girl boss?
Yeah,
you know the girl that was in Girl Boss? She's in it.
Yeah.
She's really good.
Yeah.
I'm thoroughly enjoying this. So they're battling it out. There's a couple who are boyfriend and girlfriend. They're on opposite sides of the law.
Of course.
I really enjoy it. It's got all the Shonda magic.
Yeah.
Sexy young lawyers. I mean, obviously, they're all gorgeous and they all live in amazing apartments. And they, you know, when they want to wind down, they walk across Brooklyn Bridge. It's all very nice.
As you do.
Yeah. It's all, but it's very thoroughly enjoyable.
Okay.
So I recommend that.
One.
Okay.
That's a quick one, to be fair.
That was very quick. I'm going to be really, really quick. Right. I don't know whether I've mentioned this before, because I did start watching it and I didn't finish watching it. Okay. It's on Sky, also on Sky Witness. Golden State Killer Unmasked. Have I mentioned it before?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think I'd watched it at that point, though.
But I'm sure you've mentioned it,
It's 5 episodes. Now I've finished watching it.
Because I remember when it was about to arrive.
Yeah, but I hadn't watched it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It was about to
documentary.
Arrive. Documentary, 5 parts. It's got all the major people. When they started filming this, they hadn't caught the Golden State Killer, who obviously... So just for a few statistics, and a few nice statistics, he committed 55 rapes, 12 murders... God knows what else. He was known as the East Area Rapist, the original Night Stalker, and miraculously through DNA. You know when you get those things, those genealogy things, and then you spit into them and find out how many people in Scandinavia you're related to. Yes. You know those. That's how he got caught in the end. Because they had loads of his DNA.
Right.
Anyway, this is an exploration of all of the investigation, what happened, how he terrorised Sacramento. It's absolutely brilliant. Five parts. It's really, really worth watching if you're interested in true crime in any way. Now, this one's going to surprise you, but I've developed a little bit of a taste for this show. It's called Hidden Britain by Drone. It's a Sunday night show.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony Robinson.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fascinating. Have you seen it, Boyd?
I've seen some of it, yeah.
Good old Tony from that archaeology programme.
Yeah.
What's that called?
And Blackadder.
Oh, of course. Mm. But what's the archaeology programme called?
Is it Time Team?
Time Team. From Time Team. He's only got his hands on a drone. And he is going all sorts of places.
Oh. Did you get it for Christmas?
I don't know how he got it.
Sounds like it feels like a Christmas
It's
present.
One of those expensive ones, though.
Oh.
You know, like the £7,000 ones.
Well, you say they're expensive, but I mean, drones have kind of transformed the world of TV in some ways because they're used a lot in all genres.
Yeah.
And then were a lot cheaper than hiring a bloody helicopter and filming, which you used to have to do. So now those drones are literally responsible for changing the whole way we look at TV. So they've literally built a whole... I've said literally too many times already. They've built a whole series around the fact that they've got that drone. They can show Britain from above quite cheaply.
Well, they're using
merely
it very
7,000
well.
Quid or whatever.
Yeah. Well, in this episode I watched yesterday, he goes... I mean, actually, I'm not really sure why he needed a drone, but he's like in an underground bunker.
Well, because the title of the show...
No, but for this particular explanation...
Hidden Britain, not by drone?
No, but for this particular exploration, I don't know why he needed it. This guy who's got, like, the biggest car collection in the world, and he's, like... I don't know why he needed the drones. Maybe
because,
just to get
above
them.
But the drone's the whole basis of the show.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know why for that particular base. For the rest of them... Right, so he goes to this place called Ryber Castle in Derbyshire, and you know he has to have the drone to go in there because no one's allowed to go in there, so only the drone can get in there. But if you're just going to a bunker with cars, why do you need the drone?
Nice shots.
Because presumably in the establishing of where it is in the British Isles, the drone establishes where it is, doesn't it? And then he can go wherever he likes after that. The drone is the starting point, is what I'm...
No, I realise that, boys. This is a long question.
It's a philosophical issue in some ways.
And then he goes to see a load of sea forts where they used to have pirate radio stations.
Right.
And shows you them by drone, which obviously is the basis of the show.
Ah.
Very good.
Clues in the title.
It's on the second series now.
So what did they film it with?
It's called a drone. Okay. They're about £7,000. It's a Christmas
present.
That's the most expensive.
I'm just saying that. I think they are about £7,000.
No, you can get them cheaper.
They don't stay up in the sky for long enough if you get the cheaper ones.
You need a pro batteries. One for TV.
Like, I think the length of time that they stay up is 25 minutes if you get one of the most expensive ones.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next.
Anyway, okay. right, so no, that's
no,
my
that's
third
three.
One. And then this is my last one.
Yeah, for the people, Golden State Killer and Hidden Britain.
Now, I know how much you'd love it when I've watched a film that's been out for ages.
And can I just say?
Yeah, and can I just say, I just watched Jurassic Park, Fallen Kingdom. I know it's your favourite.
Jurassic Park. I mean, that would be
Steven
great.
Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
No, Jurassic Park, Fallen Kingdom.
Yep.
Which
to be fair to you, the most recent.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been out this year, wasn't it?
It is definitely this year. It's still in the top 10, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed it until it got to the bit where the new dinosaur opened a door with its claw. And I just thought, this is so unbelievable.
That was the line for you?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Where was the line for you?
No, I liked it all. Actually, me and Boyd had a fisticuffs because I like the second half. Boyd's not that keen on
the
second
half.
Yeah,
I like the first half, not the second half. I didn't like the whole haunted house bit, including that scene that you're talking
about. That scene where there's a scene in it, this is not a spoiler, where a dinosaur is kind of like stalking someone and then opens a door like a human would.
Yeah.
And I think that's very silly.
It's very intelligent, that dinosaur, to be fair.
But have you seen videos like snakes can open doors and stuff?
Mm. No, they can't.
Yeah, they can.
What snakes?
Big ones.
Yeah,
no.
And dogs and things. Yeah
and dogs.
Yeah. Well, dogs can do anything.
Yeah,
well, dogs can do anything.
Talking to the preaching thing of earth, dogs.
Yeah, dogs can do anything.
Do you know the most incredible thing about Jurassic Park? Mm. What's it called? Jurassic World.
It's
Fallen
called,
Kingdom.
Yeah, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
Is that one of the best bit of it is where right at the end of the first half, when the volcano is erupting, and the whole island that they ludicrously go to for no good reason whatsoever.
Well, they go to save the dinosaurs.
They haven't learned by now that the dinosaurs are going to eat them all. Mm. Anyway.
Well, not that nice one, blue, that he raised, hand-raised.
So anyway, everyone's escaping from this island. Volcano's erupting. There's tidal waves. Do you remember this bit? There's literally like a half a second edit when you see a tidal wave arriving and everything's happening. And then that's it. In the trailer, that was a huge part of the trailer. If you watch the trailer now, and I remember thinking, oh, that looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's like a tiny little moment but in the film that's thrown away.
I thought it was very
good. Whereas like, they spent hours on the frankly tedious chase around the rooftop of the haunted house thing.
Yeah.
I was like, your priorities all wrong. And I'm going to get to this in a minute with my choice. But
that was probably filmed with drones, that bit on the haunted house, wasn't it? They probably had a couple.
I'm not sure much of that was really there, I'll be honest with you. It's probably mostly green screen.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure they needed a drone. It's all done CGI.
Well, next you're going to tell me dinosaurs haven't been reintroduced into the countryside.
Yeah, that's a documentary.
Okay, fine. Anyway, that's it, which I think I should...
It was kind of 5/6, but...
No, it wasn't. No, okay, I'll go through it again.
No, don't need to go through it again.
Hidden by drone.
No,
Sky Golden State.
Thank you very much, Steph.
Would you like a patronising applause?
Yes, please.
Like
thank
Steve
you.
Wright in the afternoon.
Thank you very much.
When he's had a guest on. Jonathan.
Right. Oh, yeah.
What have you been listening to, I hope?
Yeah.
Have you got all podcasts?
Otherwise it renders question time.
Because you know this is what the people want.
Yeah. The people have spoken.
I feel pressured into it.
Feel pressured if I was you too. You feel pressured?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, you should. But I have to say that every single one of your podcast recommendations I have listened to and they're all brilliant.
No pressure.
No pressure.
Caliphate
that came I did last time is one of the best podcasts ever made, though. You know,
yeah. And you're trying to claim that it was your recommendation,
and
you?
Thanks to me, the masses heard it.
Yeah,
no one had heard it until
no,
I said.
No, it was That's very right. good.
First up, the Alice Fraser trilogy. Alice Fraser is a comedian. She's contributed to the Bugle podcast, and she's the host of the podcast Troll Play. And these the trilogy is essentially three of her live stand-up shows, kind of with bits of pre-recorded stuff kind of interspersed throughout. And she's just like, for my money, she's just one of the best stand-up comedians kind of working today. Mm-hmm. And so...
Words.
And the first show is... So at the time of recording, we've only got three out of the six parts. So the trilogy is split into halves. I'm not as keen on the first half of the second act, but the first act was absolutely phenomenal. And it's... about her relationship with her mum, who had multiple sclerosis. So it's one of those kind of those comedy shows that's really funny, but also has a very kind of intense subject matter.
God. Okay. I don't know about that.
So that's the first one, the Alice Fraser trilogy. Second is a podcast called Disgraceland. Any of you know, heard of that?
Heard of it, yeah.
So it's hosted by a man called Jake Brennan, and it's kind of the dark truth behind many great musicians. So there are episodes about John Lennon, Frank Sinatra, Marvin Gaye, Keith Moon. You could, you know, go anyone.
All the greats.
Right up my street.
Anyone who's kind of had a famous or infamous kind of career in music, he's done an episode on. The most recent two were a two-parter about John Lennon. And so really interesting. Tonally, it feels a bit kind of somewhere in between like an unofficial biography that you'd kind of get in a shop, you know, like the unauthorized biography of blah, blah, blah. And something like Ryan Murphy would produce. So like, you know, Feud or, you know, he does kind of the...
Sounds perfect.
American crime story.
Yeah.
Exactly. Stuff like that. So it's kind of in the middle of that. So that the production values are quite high and it's really well made, but it is storytelling, and some of it definitely... It crosses the line into like what I would say is like conjecture and imagining what was happening behind closed doors.
Okay.
So yeah, that one's really interesting. And finally, I'm absolutely rattling through these.
You are. Disgraceland, that was.
Yes, that's Disgraceland.
We're now going to prove that without Kay, we can actually run to time. That's what we're going to prove.
She's going to love that.
She's going to be furious.
Yeah.
And then finally, The Realness, which is a podcast by WNYC. And it's about Prodigy, who was one half of the hip-hop duo Mobb Deep, who they influenced loads of...
He's just saying it so precisely.
I don't want to get it wrong. Laughing at John's hip-hop pronunciation.
Yeah.
And they influenced loads of famous musicians, including like Kendrick Lamar and stuff. And the interesting thing about Prodigy from Mobb Deep is he passed away recently sickle cell syndrome, which is a blood
disorder. It's an inherited blood disorder.
And this isn't a spoiler, I didn't realize that until about the second episode. Sickle cell is because their blood cells are literally shaped like a sickle.
Yeah.
And so it causes extreme pain for prolonged periods of time and a lower life expectancy.
It's awful, really bad.
It's actually more about the disease and kind of how the treatment of it isn't very good because of...
No, the treatment is terrible because you have to have... But my husband's got a sickle cell trait and his dad had sickle cell, and you have to... Like, the only way you treat... You have to have blood transfusions constantly. It's horrendous. It's yeah. absolutely awful disease.
Yeah, blood transfusions and a lot of morphine, unfortunately. Mm. So it's like about how he managed to be kind of an iconic hip-hop musician whilst, you know...
Suffering so terribly. From this.
So really interesting. That's a six-parter. So it's not too much of a commitment. Sometimes with these, like, for instance, Disgraceland, there are loads of episodes, so you need to kind of just pick and choose based on who you want to hear about. Mm. Whereas something like The Realness is only six episodes, so it's definitely worth listening to.
Because we're quite right in the middle of like episode 12, aren't we? Of the
Boyd.
Oh, no, yeah.
The worst thing that ever happened, right? Everybody, if you're listening to The Teacher's Pet, which is a great podcast, if you don't know what this podcast is, Teacher's Pet is a podcast by The Australian. It's about a man allegedly. Who was a rugby player who allegedly may have one day decided he wanted to off his wife and killed her and then buried her by the pool. Possibly, maybe, I think that's what he did. And then moved in the teenage girl, under the soft soil, moved in the teenage girl, school girl that he was having an affair with. Now, if you think he didn't do it, that's fine, but he most probably did. And that's what this podcast is about. And it's on episode 12 at the moment. Yeah. But unfortunately, Boyd's ruined it for everybody by pointing out all the things that the lovely person who does the podcast says several times, and every time he says them, I can't take the podcast seriously now. Soft soil to me one more time.
Sorry, let me just say, I in no way it's a great podcast. It's an incredibly important story.
Headley,
it's a very important story. It is just interesting how certain things in it get repeated quite a lot.
But yeah, I think
now
he has
the 12th hour of the. No, yeah, absolutely. No, I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying because it's really good, but. It's an interesting... It must be difficult. I'm fascinated by how... I mean, I felt the same thing with Serial, you know, which has... And a lot of other true crime podcasts. There's a whole issue, isn't there?
Yeah.
You start off investigating it.
Yeah.
And this one goes back decades. And then same thing with Staircase a bit.
Mm.
And then you're embroiled in the story and you're kind of... The podcast becomes part of the story because in Australia, it's become key to re-examining the thing. So now he's in this weird situation where he's kind of told the story now and he's reiterating certain elements of it. I mean, he's getting new access to new people, but kind of has to carry on. And it's a really genuinely interesting dilemma. What do you do with this hugely newsworthy thing that you've brilliantly unearthed, you know, and people are totally, it's totally changed people's attitudes to this case.
Yeah.
And it could, who knows, end up, you know, leading to the guy actually being tried properly.
Chris Dawson.
It. But we're not, you know.
The alleged murderer.
So does he carry on doing the podcast? Does he leave it for a bit and come back to it? Anyway, it's fascinating. Talking of podcasts, I like this week's episode of Mark Maron's called WTF. Has got Chris O'Dowd. Do you, Chris O'Dowd?
Oh,
it was great.
I love
it was
Chris
really good.
O'Dowd.
Really good. Just because sometimes they get a bit serious, the Mark Maron ones, and it gets quite intense. And
he does when he talks a bit too much about addiction. And
exactly.
He's a bit too like, when I wanted to kill myself and all that kind of stuff. And you're like, oh, God. Yeah.
Not that you're making light of.
Oh, no, it's awful. But it's just sometimes it's just, you just, like, it's really hard to like get the tone right, isn't it? When you're like, he's talking to someone funny and then he's saying something like that and you're like, well, this is really serious. I don't know whether to laugh or not.
Anyway, you had Chris O'Dowd on because Chris O'Dowd is like a keep it light guy in a lovely, charming way. So it's one of the lightest, funniest ones for a long time. Recommend that. I wasn't even thinking of planning on that being part of my recommendation, but it is.
Oh, that's your Can I Just Say?
It's my Can I Just Say.
Okay, fine.
I am going to mention The Bodyguard, which I went to see the screening of last week, which
Bodyguard.
Is the new Bodyguard.
Not
the Whitney Houston film.
The best one.
And funnily enough, Jeb Mercurio, who created it and wrote it of Line of Duty fame, this is his new series.
Ooh.
It's a six-part camera on BBC One soon. I'm sure we'll be reviewing it. Maybe in the first of the newly named version of this podcast. It could be the very first one. But what I'll quickly say now is Jeb Mercurio is a genius, and it's fantastic. And it's all about I think you've seen the trailer. You've probably seen the trailers already because...
Who's it starring?
Keely Hawes.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
Have you seen the trailer?
I haven't seen the trailer.
Yes, yeah.
BBC running the trailer. So Keely Hawes is a politician. She's the Home Secretary. And
as she should be.
Exactly.
In
if
real
only
life.
She was in real
oh,
life.
Oh, God, she's wonderful.
And her new bodyguard is Richard Madden, who's an ex-army...
From Game of Thrones?
Yes. Who's an ex-army, ex-Afghanistan serving soldier who's very much... You know, has issues about having served in the army and politicians who are kind of pro-war.
Are they having an affair?
No.
Are they going to
have an
affair?
Saying more than this is the premise of it. I'm not going to say more than this.
Okay.
And he's assigned to her, and what happens after that? Anyway, it's fantastic.
Oh, maybe he's secretly actually going to kill her and he's not really a bodyguard. Maybe he's been placed there and he's been brainwashed and actually
you should
going
check
to kill
the trailer
her.
Because it does give you more information than Boyd gave you, actually.
Oh, and does it?
It looks
have I got it right? Yeah. Is that what it is?
No, it's not.
Is it like a Homeland situation?
It looks like there's some double-crossing potential.
Could be potential. There's potential for it to be about all kinds of things, yeah. But it's completely
have they announced a release?
No, I think it's early September, I think.
Very exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting.
In a few weeks' time, yeah. So that's great. Unforgotten, I'm going to underline what you said about Unforgotten.
Oh, so good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's just say it again. Oh, it's just...
Yeah. Did you see the end in real life of what we reviewed last week, the Fake or Fortune?
No, I didn't.
Did you see it, John?
This is a tweets and stuff.
Let's not cover that then.
Okay, we'll get to that.
Right.
Spoiler alert. We were going to spoil what happened in the end, but I was stunned. I have to say.
Were you?
Stunned,
oh, yeah. We'll get. You carry on with your bit, so we can get to that good bit.
I'm just saying I was stunned by what happened in it. And finally, I just want to talk about the Meg. So the Meg is the big.
Oh, the shark thing with Jason Statham.
Giant. Have you seen it yet, John? We've got. So first of all. You know, I very kindly went to a screening, and so I feel bad that I'm about to slag it off, but I'm about to slag it off.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, because, you know, I didn't need to see it because we'd previewed it already in the magazine. And the film company very kindly sent this giant shark-based sleeping bag.
Yeah, I would like that sleeping bag.
It's caused absolute mayhem in the office. Mm. And if you look at Empire got sent them, and if you look at Empire's Instagram and Twitter, you'll see various top-level journalists...
Wearing the shark-based
sleeping bag, and it's hilarious. Much more fun than the film.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, that's really scathing, boys.
Well, I was so gutted because I've been looking forward to this film for
that bad? Because you know that it's going to be bad. Is it not so bad? It's good.
No.
Like all Jason Statham films.
No, that's my problem with it. It's not. Neither is it so bad that it's good, nor is it so good that it's good. It's just meh. It's just kind of... That was my version of meh, by the way.
Right,
it's
meh.
It's like triple NH, maybe?
Okay, fine. Yeah. It's an adult version of
meh. Yeah, trying not to say meh, which I find annoying people say meh.
Okay, That can be a thing.
Here's the incredible thing about it. And I thought I was going mad, but I went to see it with... I was sat next to Terry White, the editor of Empire. Mm-hmm. You know, she knows the films.
Did she enjoy it?
She felt the same way as me. I got the tube on the way back, and I said, was it just me? Or was there not that much shark-based mayhem in this film?
It was all about
shark. And
she's
like, no, you're right. So, you know, you're set up. It's all about a giant prehistoric shark, a megalodon. That's what it's called.
Oh,
the
Meg. Right.
Massive, huge, 80-foot shark or whatever. Mm. And it's all set up that you're going to see loads of scenes of the Meg. If you see the trailer, you know, which the trailer's brilliant, and all the marketing's been fantastic. Mm. Then you get the two-hour film... And you could count on the fingers of one hand the amount of times you see the shark attacking humans, which is what I want is a giant shark munching through people. And you're not given it. It's 12 certificate, whatever it is, 12A certificate. Therefore, it's immediately not scary.
Right.
There's one bit which sets up slight spoiler. It all builds up to as they say in the frankly ludicrous script. Mm. Oh, the shark is heading towards the most densely populated beach on Earth, which is on the coast of China, on the Chinese coast. So it's all set in China, Shanghai, all in that area, because it's a big like co-production with China and Hollywood. Anyway, so the giant shark's like swimming underneath these thousands and thousands of people milling around on the coast and like, you know, in giant dinghies and blow up things. And it just doesn't eat any of them.
Well, maybe it wasn't hungry.
I know.
Had it just had lunch?
Yeah, maybe it wasn't hungry.
So it's not like Jaws, where, you know, tension is created through an absence of shark.
Here's the thing. It's clearly influenced by Jaws, but Jaws was a masterpiece that, by the way, I mean, I'm obsessed with Jaws. This is partly. And if you read the book, there's a brilliant making-of book about Jaws.
Mm.
And Steven Spielberg, partly the reason why you hardly do see the shot is because their shot was shit. So they had mechanical fake shot.
And it was breaking all the
breaking
time.
Down
it was
famously,
very, yeah.
Yeah, famously. It's a brilliant making-of documentary as well on the DVD. So almost by, you know, he had to pragmatic filmmaking. He didn't show much of the shark. But even in Jaws, you see there's some great shots of the shark.
Yeah.
Kind of terrible, obviously, fake shots of the shark munching people. In this, no, there aren't. Wow. It's weird.
And they just had to invent them on the computer.
Right,
so...
now they've got CGI. So it's so bizarre. I'm going to give one more spoiler. This is a spoiler. If you're going to go and see it.
Yeah.
Spoiler
go
warning
on.
Now. Tune back in about 30 seconds time.
Okay, go on.
There's even a bit with a little fluffy dog.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no.
And you think, oh, the Meg's going to eat the dog. And it doesn't
oh,
eat
good.
The effing
oh,
it
thanks.
Doesn't this, eat. What's the
that's,
point?
No, that's perfect.
No,
that's what I want.
If you have, it's the old adage.
Is it like a little
Chekhov's
white dog
gun,
with a
isn't it?
Bow
it's
in
gun.
Its hair?
You, if you show the gun in the first act, it's got to go off in the final
no,
act.
No, no.
They show the little dog and
what?
It's not eaten.
Yeah. Good.
No, you see a swimming dog in a shark movie. He should be gone.
Thank you.
Oh, I don't want a doggy snuff movie.
You can I'm not saying they really kill the dog. I'm saying CGI no, you... shark-based dog eating.
No, 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 no.
You could still make it a 12A and have lots of shark right. action if and they... just make it less bloody, can't you? That's what
I'm
we do
I'm
going
to watch it because I don't really believe you. I bet it's good.
Oh.
Well, I'm sure you will find a way to watch it.
I will. Steph. I in will try. I will go to the
crook.
Cinema. I will go to the
oh,
cinema.
Oh, really?
And
are
I will
you
watch
really
it.
Going to go to the cinema? Break that bit of a lifetime?
No, I am going to see if it's on at my home cinema.
Well, I changed. And if some people, it's not. It's done really well. It's done much better on the box office than people thought. It's outdone, outstripped its projected takings. And people like Robbie Collison, to Robbie Coyne, who's sitting in for Mark Kermode on Five Live, he enjoyed it. He's like, if you think you're going to enjoy it, you'll enjoy it. I really thought I was going to enjoy it, but
it's about
I didn't.
State of mind.
I was furious. No, absolutely.
Well, you seem furious now. Calm down.
Still angry about
the
it.
The dog's still alive.
The Meg.
Let
is,
it go.
The Meg is still out in motion picture cinemas. Is that what they're called? In
yeah,
cinemas.
In cinemas.
Near you, John's nodding. That's what they're called.
The motion picture, the Meg, is still out in cinemas, is what you want to say.
Cinemas, Right.
Right. Is that, are you
now,
done?
I'm done.
Well, Kay's not
time
here.
For the tweets?
It's
John,
time for,
John, I think, is going to
okay,
step in.
Okay, should I
you?
Do it on my own?
Oh, yeah.
It's time for the tweets before the meet.
Claire Excellent. Phillips. Format change. Name change. Hashtag concerned.
Oh, don't worry, Claire.
Don't be concerned, Claire. We're really not going to change the format.
We're not going to change the format, but we are going to change the name.
Change the name.
We're going to change the name. We're having a little bit of time off, and we're going to change the name. We're going to think about what we've done, really.
Yeah.
We're in trouble. We're going to sit on the naughty step for a bit.
We're going to think about what we've done.
Yeah. We may put Kay in her own, I don't know, like chamber, like glass chamber.
She should
How about
be
that?
In a chamber.
That could be a format change.
Yeah.
I've just come up with this idea.
Okay.
Just,
Kay in a chamber. Yeah. That's going to be a new part.
Throwing it about as a new format element.
If you have a new feature idea, Claire, just tweet us.
Look, yes. You know, if anybody has any ideas about what they would, if we don't include things that you want us to include, then get in contact and Boyd will say what he always says is that everything is just going to stay the same.
Yeah. I'm totally averse to change in every form,
I
in
know
every
you
way.
I am well.
In life.
Yeah,
as you
I
well
know you are. You are.
And it's certainly not going to, this bloody podcast is not going to
But the
change.
Name is changing, Boyd.
Yeah,
you know that,
changing,
don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. What else have we got, John Dan?
This one's from Gary Waugh. This is actually in, I believe, response to you guys did a best law / legal as a question time. And he has spoken about the show Outlaws, which was a BBC show starring Phil Daniels.
Oh. Yeah. It was
no,
good.
I'm thinking of Outlaw, the film.
No, Outlaws, it was good. And I'm trying to remember who wrote it because it was a pretty good show.
When was it out?
I would say a few years ago.
So you can still see it on BBC?
Outlaws, BBC.
The iPlayer.
He's let us know that you can get it for £67 on Amazon if you fancy.
Do you know 67? What? I really appreciate that. That's good. £67 on Amazon. Is it on like a box set? How many do you get?
It was 2004. God, it shows how old I am. It feels like yesterday.
14 years ago, Boyd.
That is ridiculous.
You thought it was the other day.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm sure we definitely would have reviewed it in Eat Magazine. By the way, 1,000th issue this week.
Yeah, 1,000th issue now.
So if you get the... I mean, we all work for Heat. Well, John doesn't. But you can see our reminiscences. I've got a page in
Boyd's
which I
got a special page. Boyd Hilton Star Stories.
Yeah. If you want pictures of me...
Which we all
ago,
do.
With famous people.
Did that one with Poldock make it in? I can't remember if
you
put
Poldock
it in.
Yeah, Poldock made it in. Tony Bazgallop, Steve Coombs, Jimmy Gardner, carry on. Anyway, sorry, John.
And finally, this is as teased earlier when we were talking about Fake or Fortune.
Oh, right, okay, so...
Sean Geraghty says...
Yeah?
He's added BBC News twice in this tweet.
Oh, serious?
So journalists can't be trusted to give away the climax of Fake or Fortune,
but
the BBC can plaster it all over at BBC News
what?
A few hours later to ruin for the millions of catch-up viewers.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
did they do that?
Apparently so. And I'm assuming, I don't know the result. I clearly wasn't watching BBC News at the time. But the fact that it's newsworthy, I assume means it was Fortune.
What was it, Boyd? Because I don't know.
No.
Oh.
It wasn't. It was fake.
Extraordinarily, it was fake. Yeah.
It was
and
fake.
And if you think how much evidence they thought they'd dug
amassed,
up.
Yeah.
And yet still... the it was denied the provenance, as they call it. And I was dumbstruck. I was so surprised. I thought it's all leading up to.
No, but I knew it was fake.
It just shows you.
I knew it was fake. Do you know when I knew it was fake? When they had the other one.
No, listen. After the event.
No. Or I did. Do you know when I thought it was fake? When they had the other one, which was the vase and the pears that he definitely did do. I was like, why would he do another vase and pears? Why? He wouldn't.
Just do more than one.
Yeah, but what? It was too.
It
was exactly
reason.
The same thing, and it looked too dissimilar. Yeah. It didn't look similar. The similarities weren't enough. I'm just saying, I knew. Okay.
Anyway.
Did she cry?
Patricia
did that woman
Reed
cry?
Was the woman? Kind of. Patricia Ooh. Reed was the expert who said. So this, I'm reading this from
okay,
a quote
go on.
From the. There was nothing that gives direct evidence that he actually executed the work himself.
Ooh.
So it's like, even though there was all of this stuff, and in the end, Philip Mulder is the co-host, and it said, this has to be one of the most convincing technical investigations we've done on a picture, and yet it still wasn't. So it's not, there still isn't enough evidence that it's real, which is incredible.
165K, yeah. That's how much she spent on that picture.
Yeah.
Furious.
And if it had been real, it would have been worth much more than that.
Yeah, but it's not.
But it's not.
Now she's wasted. Now how much is it worth? Nothing.
Yeah. What I learned more than anything about this show is that it's how hard it is to prove proper paintings.
Provenance.
As they're known. The provenance.
Yeah, I know.
It's extraordinary.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Anyway, yes, thank you. Any more tweets, John?
That is it.
Good.
Kay will be proud of you.
Thank you.
Right, it's time for the meet.
It's time for the meet.
Let's begin with your favourite channel, Steph.
It is such
Sky
a good channel.
Sky Witness, starting next Thursday, the 23rd of August at 9 p.m. is the new series called Instinct. Perhaps you would like to tell us in your own words.
I will not in the words just written on here, but I will just say that this is based on the James Patterson novel Murder Games. Okay, so. We get Alan Cumming, who is a retired CIA operative, and he is now teaching all about murder and psychology and things, and he's obviously incredibly flamboyant and fantastic character. Now, he is joined by a lovely young special agent who is looking into a number of murders where people have been killed and there's been a little clue left in the form of a playing card at the scene of the murders. And she tries to entice him into investigating this with her, which she duly does. And then the pair of them go off, try and find out who the hell's doing this, if they can catch this person together, and they form a very happy alliance. That's not giving anything away, is it?
No, did you make it clear that the crimes are based on a book that he wrote.
Yeah. Sorry,
yeah.
No, I didn't make that clear. But you have.
Good. That's what he thinks. So he's also a crime novelist, and the serial killer seems to be using his book as the basis for his crimes. I'm going to start with John on this one.
Why not? Why the hell?
Is this the kind of thing you'd normally choose to watch if we didn't force you to sit in for Kay on this podcast?
I think
no.
I knew it.
I didn't go anywhere near it.
This kind of television totally eludes me. Like no, but like not. Just through choice, not through the fact that I watched
You're
it and didn't enjoy
man.
It.
Yeah. You've got better things to do.
So in America, this would be shown on like a cable channel, and there's lots of episodes in a series, right?
Yeah.
13 episodes. I think
That's
it's
not
on.
Too many.
I think it's on Fox off the top of my head.
Okay.
I'll check. Yeah.
It's quite a light tone. And maybe as someone who's used to watching the Scandies and the Netflixes.
Yeah.
The tone is very
it's
light
upbeat,
in comparison.
Isn't it?
Yes,
sort of jolly,
which sometimes can be odd when there are corpses involved.
Yeah, it's a jolly romp through dead bodies and things.
Well, so you know what it's like. I was going to say this. Did you ever see Bones?
No, I didn't.
Bones is the long running. Do you mean? Have you seen? Must have seen Bones. Yeah,
thingy Boroughness. What's his name? How do you say that?
David Boreanaz.
That's it. David Boreanaz.
Out of Angel and Buffy.
And what's the face's sister?
Yeah.
Oh, what is her
anyway,
name?
That was
Deschanel.
Very. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was very light. Bones is like so frothy, and it was dealing with, and that was the whole thing of it. Really, it was almost like a comedy practically. So I feel that's kind of slightly the basis for Carry On.
The two leads I've really enjoyed. I think they're both great and they work well together. And there's definitely a kind of dynamic between them that's enjoyable to watch. One thing I thought was good was, so he is a lecturer who's kind of dragged into this kind of crime-busting world. and he is not reluctant. And I, the obvious thing to do with a character like him would be to be like, oh, I'll do it one last time. Mm. But the fun twist they do on this is actually she doesn't seem overly keen to have him around, and he's very keen to get involved in the crime solving, which was fun. The one thing I would say negative is the way they were solving the crimes didn't really make any sense to me.
No.
You'd be like, this card means this. Okay. Yeah. And then run off.
They seem to just have a sixth sense about it, which is maybe why it's called instinct. They seem to just know. They're like, oh, it'll be this person here. That's what that means. We need to go there because that's where a murder person will be.
Whereas I guess in the book, they probably fleshed out the book that the guy was writing more. So when a clue would appear and he'd be like, that's from my book. Yeah. You'd be like, oh yeah, of course. Mm. Whereas here we were going, okay, it's from his book, I guess.
Yeah. It is very frothy and kind of silly, but I enjoyed it. Here's my thing about it.
All right, go on.
It begins with the very first scene has a massive reference to Dressed to Kill, which is one of my favourite films of all time. It's one of my top five films of all time. Brian De Palma.
Right.
Angie Dickinson, Michael Caine, transvestite, a serial killer.
Yeah.
And in the very first scene, there's a character looking like the transvestite serial killer, and and someone says to the other person, I don't know if you even noticed it, so what's that look you're going for in this committing crime? It's like, oh, it's from Dressed to Kill.
Oh, I didn't get
and
that
I thought,
at all.
That's the way to hook me. I mean, if you have a Dressed to Kill reference in the first bloody
scene, you're sold.
I am sold. So I was like, oh my God, this is literally for me. Then once it kind of got underway in for real, I was like, it's so silly. And as you say, the crime solving is absolutely preposterous. I mean, I couldn't even begin to understand what they're going through. But they're fun. Alan Cumming, and it's Bojana Novakovic plays.
She's gorgeous.
NYPD Detective Lizzie Needham. And they are really good together. So Alan Cumming was in The Good Wife, one of the great things ever, one of our favourite things. One of Kay's favourite things,
yeah.
And mine. And I never liked his American accent in that show. In that show, he played an American. Mm. And, you know, and I always had an issue. I've always felt, I love him, he's brilliant. But I always thought, I don't think your accent's quite right. In this one, I thought it was even worse.
I have got a real issue with his accent in this.
Right.
Because I think you can really hear his Scottish accent, actually.
I think so as well.
I think that's a real problem.
I was like, what is going on? Yeah. It's in pretty much every scene, or one of the two of them are in every scene. Yeah. So it's a lot. So my main issue with his performance was the bloody accent.
Yeah.
And I thought, could have just been Scottish.
I totally agree.
Author.
They absolutely should have let him be Scottish in this, and that would have been.
And we should say, I thought it was really interesting that he's gay in it, and his husband. And I don't know. I meant to check going back to the original James Patterson novel whether in the novel he was gay, the character. Mm. He may be. I don't know. But I thought that was great. You know, Alan Cumming is gay in real life, and it's just rare. You know, we shouldn't have to mention it, but it's rare that you get a major character in a, and it's CBS.
Why not thing. It's like, isn't it? It's like, why wouldn't you do that? It hasn't been done.
Yeah, it's been done. It's done very, you know, casually, as it should be. It's not made a big deal of. You just meet his husband who goes to see, runs a bar, and that's that. And then there's a funny scene in the middle of it where the woman doesn't realise he's gay. And she's like, well, you're one of the supposed to be detective. You can't even work out I'm gay. So I thought that was really interesting. I thought the whole idea is interesting. I thought it was quite cheesy how... So they've found the initial story is there's this killer who's using his book as the basis of his crimes. That's solved. And now he's going to join her in this crime-fighting duo for the rest of the series. And there'll be obviously like a crime each week. Mm. And I felt the way they did that was so basic and kind of, they almost didn't even bother trying to find a clever way to do it. I still thought it was fun.
I totally agree with everything you're saying. I think basic is the right word for it because for me, I have to say, Alan Cumming, I love him. I definitely think they should have let him keep his normal Scottish accent.
Yeah.
But the problem that I've got with this is that it's nowhere near as good as Elementary. And it reminds me so much of Elementary.
Elementary
with Johnny Lee Miller and Lucy Liu is everything you want from if you're trying to do something like this. Because it's got humour in it, but it's really sharp and really clever. And they do... You can't kind of figure things out. It needs those two people to figure out who the murderer is and how the crime was done. And so it's not as slick as that, but it's trying to be everything that is, but it doesn't do it anywhere near as well.
Yeah,
that's my overriding feeling about
There's a funny scene with Whoopi Goldberg as his agent, as Alan Cumming's agent, where he goes to have a meeting with her about his latest book, and she tells him it's shit. And I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, it's shit, and he's put on weight, and that is funny.
I thought those bits were funny. Those like almost like side things.
Yeah, I even found the bit where there's a bit in it where they've been talking about partners, and she's been talking about Gary this whole time, and he's like, oh, you've got this guy called Gary, and actually Gary turns out to be a dog. There's some really nice bits in it. But it's not. My problem is there's something that is like this out there and much better, and it's been going for a lot longer, and that is Elementary. And I think if you want to watch something like that, then watch Elementary.
And it was a bit like Bones, and probably not as good as Bones.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, it's okay, though. It's okay.
Instinct is on Sky Witness and Now TV from next Thursday, the 23rd of August at 9 p.m. Well, 13 weeks. 13 That's the sound weeks. Of me. Very loud sound of me. Ruffling a bit of paper.
How many stars are you going to give it?
I almost forgot the format.
I know you did, and that is why. That's why I asked you. How many stars are you going to give it?
I'm going to give it 3.5.
Oh, do you know what? I'm going to give it 3.5 too.
I've written down 3.5 for the record. So.
Where is it?
Yeah.
Have you got typed? Oh my god, notes. John Dan has got
That's
typed
proper,
notes.
Right.
You
That's
are
a
such a pro.
You're dealing with a professional.
And he's ticked off the things he's already talked about.
3.5 stars
all
around.
Don't get that from Kay.
No. 3.5 stars all around.
Wow.
Moving on to a new factual documentary series featuring the artist Grayson Perry, who I once interviewed him a couple of times for Heat Magazine. Once with Rylan, randomly.
What?
Yeah. Rylan out of X Factor and Big Brother's Little Brother, whatever it's called now. Anyway, Grayson Perry, Rites of Passage, his new 4-part look at the landmark events in our lives: birth, coming of age, marriage, death.
Death. I mean, it's coming to us all.
It is coming to us all. And it starts off with death,
which is interesting.
Which is interesting itself, isn't it? Yeah. And the reason I'm explaining what this one is, I'm warning you now, so that I can get Johnny to explain what the hell's going on in Krypton.
Oh, great.
So I've done there.
Fine, okay.
So I'm just warning you, John.
That's fine.
Yeah, so you've got like a little, you know...
Let me type up some notes,
a
little buffer zone between now and when we get to Krypton. Well, you know, you have to describe the story of Krypton.
Done you up a kipper, basically.
Yeah. Slightly done you up a kipper. Anyway, Grayson Perry, and what he does, it's quite an unusual format for this show. There's one topic in each episode, these different rites of passage, starting with death, and he begins by going to another country, the Indonesian island of Sulawesi, where he meets the Toraja people, who have a completely unique and different way of dealing with death and funerals to we in the West do. Mm-hmm. And he finds out, he meets them and he witnesses what they do. And the key there is basically, the person who's died and they have a big ceremony for has been dead for over a year. Mm,
sometimes even longer.
Mm. And then they wait to stage a lavish funeral.
But they keep him in the house.
But he makes it clear, because he says to camera, oh, you think the corpse is going to smell everything, but it doesn't, because the way they wrap it up and the way they embalm it, etc., means it's all fine. But that is completely... And then he comes back to Britain and he meets two different people. He meets the Hounslow couple, Rosh and Deirdre, and 8 years earlier, he was diagnosed with motor neurone disease. He's given 18 months to live. And he talks to them about what... So this is someone who knows they're going to die.
Yeah.
And it's, what does that mean? Does he want to switch off his ventilator that's keeping him alive?
Yeah,
and how is he going to...
That ventilator, if he switches off that ventilator, he's got like 7 days to live, hasn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other... And so there's that example, and he meets them, talks to them, and discusses with them how they're going to face death. And then I think in the most moving... thing. Mm. In Middlesbrough, he meets Alison and Kevin, who are a couple grieving over the death of their 17-year-old son, Jordan, who was killed by a drink driver 6 months ago.
It's very moving.
And in that section, they get him to really help them come up with a way, an unusual way, not a normal funeral or anything, a kind of special event to keep their son's memory alive. And that involves them kind of going around the local area in a kind of...
Pilgrimage.
Mm. Yeah, which is really unusual and extraordinary. What did you think of this, Steph?
I am overwhelmed by how brilliant Grayson Perry is, I have to say. I just think he's just got this kind of innate empathy that whoever he speaks to, and you, it kind of cross-cuts between him, 1 minute being Indonesia, the next minute being here, and you just, I can't quite believe how brilliant he is at relating to across cultures, like vastly different cultures as well. And he seems to be able to touch everybody and get out of them exactly what he wants. And I'm thoroughly impressed by him because this is
very,
very
moving. Anyway?
Yeah, I love Grayson Perry.
Yeah.
But even loving Grayson Perry as an artist, I still am very surprised at how good he is as really kind of a sort of documentary filmmaker in a way. He's very, very good at it.
Yeah.
Like I found when he was in Indonesia, incredibly, incredibly moving, because I do think we here in the West think things like that are highly unusual.
Yeah.
But very, very, very quickly, when my grandmother died in Thailand, I remember my dad, who lives in Thailand, saying to me, oh, don't worry, I'm going to send you loads of photos of your grandmother's funeral. And I was like, oh, okay, fine, just thinking I'm going to see photos of the family. And I was so... My brother got the photos before me and he said, do not open. Do not open the email because you will be so distressed. And it was because it was pictures of my grandmother's body that had been kept for a while.
Right.
In flames, because they burn the body right down to the bones. And then what they do in Thailand is they take the bones, everybody in the family puts their hands through the bones so they can feel all the bones, and then they take them to the river, so you go back to the river, which to me is beautiful and wonderful, but not something that I would have wanted to see my grandmother up in flames.
No.
But when I watched this, it reminded me of that and how we're so ignorant of other cultures and how they deal with their dead, because I was just so amazed they in this episode, you know, they keep the matriarch of a family upstairs for a year, and people come and mourn, and they talk to the body and everything like that. And I just found that really moving and incredible. Yeah, the whole thing was just, I just thought he got all these different aspects of death. So I just think he did it so well. This is so worth watching. And I hadn't seen anything like this before. But it was very, very upsetting, the Middlesbrough couple.
Yeah.
Because they had kind of a shrine in their house, and it's just obviously the grief was so raw with them. But he just, like I said, I'm just so amazed at what he can get out of people without really saying much, because he has so much warmth to him and so much innate understanding of what people are going through. I thought it was wonderful. Really, really loved it.
Funnily enough, you say you'd never seen anything like this before. It reminded me of Carl Pilkington's The Meaning of Life, extraordinarily enough.
The Moaning of Life.
Was it called? Oh, yeah, Moaning of Life. Yeah. Yes, you're right. Yes. The Moaning of Life, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Which was his Sky, I think it was his last series for Sky. I think he did two series, and he did big issues of...
Did he do a death one?
He did a death one. And I'm pretty sure, I was trying to check just now as you were speaking, without being rude, and I'm pretty sure
he dealt with
the Philippine-style funeral situation.
Right.
I'm sure he mentioned, and I have to go back and check, I'm sure he mentioned in that you know, their bodies can be... not dead for a year before they're actually buried, and there was quite some crossover, I think, funnily enough. But obviously that was him, I mean, ostensibly, you know, much more played for laugh, so to speak, being respectful of these different people when he was going to visit them. But, and in fact, it ended up being the death one suitably less played for laughs than the other episodes in the series. But there was definitely some crossover. But this, it is Grayson Perry who kind of it's almost like not sensitivity. He is sensitive, but he's very matter of fact, isn't he? I think that's what people like about him.
Yeah,
Let's deal with it. There's no bullshit. He's kind of like, I'm going to make this program. I've met you. What should we do to celebrate the death of the poor teenager or the guy, and you know, his life, and people want him to get involved.
Yeah, they do.
And he comes up with these really interesting ideas. So I thought it was fascinating. Yeah, John.
Well, weirdly, actually, not just Carl Pilkington.
Oh, there's
an episode of The Dark Tourist, where he also goes to Indonesia.
We can't get enough of these Indonesian death programs.
Yeah, he sees a mummified. I'm not sure it's a different part of Indonesia. But at the risk of sounding ignorant, there are definitely similarities between their death rituals. Mm. So yeah, there is. But what you guys are both saying is absolutely true. I would never personally. I know of him as a bit of a modern artist. Mm. I know he's funny when he used to go on Have I Got News for You.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know much else about Grayson Perry. But I thought this documentary was absolutely phenomenal. You guys have kind of covered the other two in depth. I actually found the Roch and Deirdre bit, oh, really.
Couple,
so
yeah.
I'm worried we're going into spoiler territory, but it is a documentary. Mm. Essentially, they do what is effectively kind of like a funeral whilst he's still alive and doing these tributes for this man who's about to pass away. And it's really lovely because part of me, you know, you watch it and you think, oh, maybe it'd be nice to go to your own funeral and see, to hear your tributes. But it is, I think everyone said, but the word is moving. It's really moving. Yeah. And I couldn't believe that how moving it was actually.
Yeah. And I think the others, you know, I think I've seen clips from the others in the trailer where he deals with birth, coming of age and marriage, which are going to be, you know, completely different.
I can't wait.
He's just brilliant.
He is just brilliant.
And
he
it's kind of amazing how he's become this. He has become like a Louis Theroux. Very different, like unique.
So one thing I don't know if we have fully covered is that he does use his art skills within the show to kind of get involved. So he uses his art skills to make things for these people to kind of as tributes and stuff. And I assume that theme will continue. So that's an interesting twist, actually.
Yeah.
He rather than just watching, he gets involved in a small way, but in a meaningful way.
And in fact, that is the thing that I think he's done it in all of his series now that he's done for Channel 4. There's been that an art element, which, you know, some could say is almost shoehorned in. We don't, you know, because he's now a TV presenter or TV documentarian or whatever in his own right. But it feels natural for him. That's how he. That's his life. So he does. I think in almost every show he's done, I think he did it when he was talking about masculinity in the last series, that he comes up with artworks to represent what he's experienced and what he's looked at. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah,
Grayson, go on.
It's just. I mean, I have. There are not enough good things to say about this.
Well, you've said quite a lot.
Well, I've said a lot of them,
thankfully.
But there aren't enough.
How many stars, I've remembered this time, are we giving Grace Murray?
Five.
Jonathan?
5 stars.
I said 4.5, but I feel like after the avid 5, I'm going to get in trouble.
See what happens. Say it. Go on.
4.5.
John, that's ridiculous.
Apologies.
I was going to say 4.5 as well.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Oh, why were you? Well, this is absolutely a must watch.
Okay. It's definitely a must watch.
It is a must watch. So it's 5.
Four
still
good.
A must-watch.
No, it isn't. Annoys me when you do
she's
this.
She's going to get so angry.
Yeah.
Just a side note, Kay will be pleased to know we're definitely going to be running longer than any episode.
Well, we are
if
you keep making these bad decisions. It's 5 stars. Don't listen to them, guys. Pogs, don't listen.
And finally, Krypton.
Talk about ending on a low.
Which, triple mega spoiler alert, it's a new 10-part, the first season anyway, is 10 episodes. I'm sure if it carries on, it'll be even more episodes.
Oh, God.
Starting on E4, Sunday at 9 o'clock. John, poor John, it's come to you to explain.
How the hell are you going to do this?
It's fine.
We are on the planet of Krypton, the aforementioned Krypton, which is the home planet of Superman. You might have heard of him. And it's kind of got like a fantasy sci-fi vibe, this place. It's not like the Superman you know of planet Earth. It's where he's from. And this is set 2 generations before him. So we are talking about Superman's granddad is our lead character. He's called Seg-El. And essentially, he is from a family who from what I can tell, they used to be part of the dynasty. They used to be almost like the royalty level. Mm. But due to some crime, they've been kind of reduced to the peasant level. And that's kind of where we find ourselves. The other thing that we need to mention is that there is a time-traveling man from America who appears to tell Seg-El that his grandson will be Superman. And if he doesn't save this planet, he, you know, will also not save planet Earth in the future, I guess.
Exactly.
So
I mean, that's
stupid.
That's
it shows in the Fortress of Solitude, definitely, which is any Superman fan knows, and I am a fan of Superman. Is the key, is where, you know, a lot of Superman finds out a lot of stuff in the Fortress of Solitude. So you see some of that. You see the logo, I thought was quite good of Superman. So it's kind of like, and there's, you know, Smallville was very successful, wasn't
Smallville
it?
Smallville was great.
Yeah, that was a big...
Smallville
was, like
was just the right amount removed from present-day Superman.
Yeah. You think this is too removed?
This is ridiculous. This is like Superman's second cousin twice removed who lives in Rochdale. It's ridiculous.
But I think maybe as someone who... I'm not like a reader of comics, but I know of the world of comics. And, you know, Superman's butler's dog probably... Not Superman, Batman's butler's dog probably had a comic. You know, like, you know, every element of these worlds will have had comic seasons about.
This is
I said dog. That was my problem.
This is so silly. This is so, so silly. Why have they done this? I don't understand it. And there's like this whole bar element where there's a load of northern people in it. It's very strange. And you know what? That actress that is in everything, who I do really like, who's
Georgia,
in Ray Donovan.
Georgina Campbell. Brilliant.
Listen, she's in everything, okay? All right, yeah. But this is one too far. This is not good enough for her. She's been in so many brilliant things. I don't know why she's decided to be in
this is a big American
show.
So she's in Broadchurch, she's in Flowers, Black Mirror. This is a big American show, isn't it? Yeah.
So, yeah, on this planet, for some undisclosed reason, they do all speak with an English accent.
It's stupid.
A lot of Brits.
No, I'm talking about the blonde one who plays his mum. That's not Georgina Campbell.
Sorry.
The Ray Donovan lady.
Ray Donovan.
Other girl should definitely be in this. She needs a foot up.
Paula Malcolmson. Sorry. Paula Malcolmson. She's in it, yeah.
Yeah, she's been in it. She was
Rupert Graves is his dad, who's from Sherlock, my favourite, who's Inspector Lestrade from Sherlock. It has got a good cast. Georgina Campbell is in it.
That's where I recognised him from.
Yeah, Rupert Graves. Yeah, who's in Morris as well.
Yeah, why are they all British?
And the main guy who plays Segel is called Cameron Cuff, who's a handsome young man, isn't he?
He's got the Superman vibes.
He's got the looks.
He's literally been cast like because he's like a square-jawed,
Superman,
hunky-looking guy.
Yeah.
And Blake Ritson, we should say, from Da Vinci's Demons, which is a show I liked, plays Brainiac, the supervillain. But it is quite silly, isn't it?
It's silly, Boyd.
I thought
it's very hard to follow.
Well, a bit like the Meg, I thought it was silly, but not silly enough to be entertaining.
It's not,
and
yeah.
It's not quality enough. The script isn't sharp enough, and it is a bit confusing. It's a bit like they're almost trying to avoid clunky dialogue, clunky exposition, and yet which leaves you a little bit. I was a bit confused as to what was going on.
Do you know what's really confusing? Yeah. The beginning bit where this is not a spoiler. This happens in the first like 3 seconds. His Seg El's granddad gets banished, and it's not fully explained that there were like these weird family tribes.
Yeah. What's interesting is it starts a lot of the Superman films. So Superman, the brilliant, the all-time classic Superman the movie. Which, you know, in many ways kickstarted the whole superhero genre in terms of cinema. That started with they're going to expel some of the characters, then pop up in Superman 2, and you meet Superman's dad, Marlon Brando, and all this. That all began with, on Krypton, with...
Right.
And then Man of Steel, similarly. Do you remember, have you seen Man of Steel? Which was the first one with Henry Cavill as Superman.
Right.
Who then ended up being in, you know, all the terrible subsequent films. That big Justice League, etc. That began, similarly on Krypton, with him being sent away, and you saw the origin. So this begins in a way is traditional for the Superman story, but it's not the Superman story,
no,
it's Superman.
It's a triple back origin. No one wants that.
And it managed to be more confusing than both of those classic.
And I also find it really hard to believe that this Seg El person is going to really give a shit about a future. I think it's really hard to care when he doesn't even know any of his superpower, that he's got any powers, why he would care about saving a grandchild when... I just don't understand the motivation for any of it. It's just rubbish.
I believe that the reason that Superman has powers, isn't it because on our planet he's just relatively strong? Isn't that part of it? So they don't have superpowers. They just, on their planet, like gravity's stronger and stuff. So they are stronger.
That makes me not like it even more. So he's not even special. He's just man. Yeah. He's not super.
So are you not fussed about, like, for instance, you know, the rumours are that they'll be doing like Game of Thrones prequels and like Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them and stuff like that. You did other stuff within
I think there's a point with prequels where you've gone too far, and they have reached that point.
You think 2 generations?
3 generations. It's way too much. Superman's great granddad, right?
No, I think it's great granddad.
That's too many already.
No, granddad, just granddad, in fact.
No, great granddad, because oh, the his beginning. Granddad.
Yeah.
Sorry,
oh, no, it is his granddad. Yeah,
it is his
great
great granddad. So, at the beginning, Seg
just
L's.
Just having loads of great greats.
Seg L's granddad, who is Superman's great great granddad, gets banished. I don't give a shit. I don't care. It's ridiculous. They should not have made this. It's ludicrous.
I liked it.
What?
We haven't really allowed you. You haven't really had your say. Thanks
you
for reminding me.
You liked it.
Yeah.
What do you
I thought
like
it zipped along nicely.
Well, good.
I was convinced I'd hate it, but maybe that's what I went in thinking it was going to be awful.
You've lost your mind.
I thought there were some interesting character dynamics established. Between like the mothers. I know that then some stuff happens there, but it reminded
me. Boyd, I'm
aghast. But
no,
I
didn't
think,
hate it.
Right, I
oh,
think.
For God's sake.
I think part of it might be because I grew up watching stuff like, you know, Xena the Warrior Princess and Stargate.
You're a second generation person. You're like someone who always watches prequels, aren't you?
Yeah, that's it.
I only watch
prequels. Yes. No, I watched, you know, that science fiction television as a kid, and I think it is very much in that vein.
Did you watch Smallville?
I didn't watch Smallville.
I watched Smallville. I loved Smallville.
Mm. The one thing I would say, and I'm worried that this is straying into spoiler territory, and I think this might be something you liked because at least it was a tangible link to Superman. I really didn't like the fact that they used his cape as a time.
Yeah, it's funny.
Oh my god, that's
it?
The only thing that is good about this. The fact that when the cape, like the only thing is like you've got to save this bloody cape, which we do want to save because that's the only thing that we know.
I thought that was gratuitous. Like, yeah, we get it. He's Superman's granddad. I didn't need that cape.
Yeah,
and also, the guy who's a time traveler.
Boyd?
He's like,
whose side are you on?
John's.
Oh!
He's like that is another issue as well. The guy who's like a time traveler is like this most like...
Who cares?
...cliched looking American man with a baseball cap and very odd.
Yeah, Adam Strange, he is played by Sean Sipos.
I'm sure he's great. Diaries. It was just, you know, not the most exciting role for him.
I didn't think... Without wanting to be too personal about it, I didn't think, and I think it's more in the script that Cameron Cuff's performance as Segel was that he's obviously incredibly handsome, but I didn't feel as much enough to him.
Can't just
and you
be
see
pretty.
Him at the beginning. Well, that's the thing. Do you feel that was just like weak link? They're showing
he's not
a
very
fake,
dynamic.
There's a whole fake fight thing going on at the beginning with his mate
to show his
like they're at like a northern bar.
They're pulling a con. Yeah, yeah. You're obsessed with their northern.
I am kind of like I just think it's like silly. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
I don't feel, and there's just scenes where I don't feel they've given him enough interesting stuff to say or do. There's a character he's somewhat lacking, I feel. Anyway, like, he just feels like a young, you know,
so you
he feels like a young
it.
Superman.
You didn't like it, did you?
I didn't love it, but I didn't hate, I'm in the middle. I didn't think it was that enough.
Are you going to watch any more of it?
Probably not.
Right, but it means you didn't like it.
And this is in the write-up, so I assume it's not a spoiler. For anyone who's interested in Superman or comic books, it's very exciting that they're using Brainiac as the villain because he's an iconic Superman villain that's not been really seen on TV or film.
Yeah.
John, I feel like our friendship's broken down over this review.
Okay.
John, get used to Steph taking these things very seriously.
I just don't see how anyone could have enjoyed it, but... You know.
Open your mind.
I can't.
No, I know.
When something's not good, I just...
I didn't love it. It's not...
Okay,
it's
that's not. All we're I needed, find John. Out. That's all I needed.
We're now going to find out exactly how he rates it because we're going to ask how many stars are you going to give it, John?
Fine.
Three.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
see?
That's fine.
Yeah,
I'm
going to give it three as well.
One.
For the record, I don't think it's one.
One.
Star.
One is generous.
One's unwatchable.
Yeah. It is unwatchable.
It's not. It's watchable. It's literally
if
watchable.
If that was on the telly and there was nothing else, you'd watch it.
Exactly.
No, no.
You're
no.
so harsh.
No, no, no.
Yeah. She hasn't got a dog in it.
It doesn't actually.
No, it doesn't.
No.
There could have been. Could have been a super dog.
Oh, that would have been great. Yeah. They did have super dog at some point.
they did.
Yeah.
Of course they did. Anyway, Krypton, decide for yourselves, as we often say on this podcast.
No, don't. Listen to me. It's terrible.
It's on E4. Ignore Steph. Is on E4 this Sunday, the 19th of August at 9 o'clock. And Channel 4 has spent a lot of money on it, so might as well give it a go.
Well, money not well spent.
Finally,
I just say.
What time is it?
It's question time. I
don't need K. So this week, I thought, partly because we're nearing the end of this version
incarnation.
Of the podcast,
this
incarnation.
Yeah.
And partly because John is in doing his traditional, has done his traditional recommendation of podcasts.
Yeah.
So thought the question this week is, what is your favourite podcast ever? It could be series or episode of a series. Stephanie Seelan, have you got one you'd like? Go on.
Serial.
Yes.
Oh, you're guessing. Mm.
You're guessing. There is no doubt in my mind the best podcast. The best podcast that you can see. If I wanted to, if somebody hadn't listened to podcasts and didn't know what podcasts were about, the best podcast that you can listen to is Serial. Sarah Koenig investigating who killed a young woman called Haemin Lee. Was it indeed her boyfriend, Adnan Syed, who is still currently serving time for her murder? It's absolutely brilliant. I can't say enough good things about it. If you've never listened to a podcast before, start with Serial and then you'll get hooked on podcasts. That is the hallmark of what all podcasts should be like.
Agreed. That's not my favourite, but
good.
I agree with everything.
Yeah, you've got to choose a different one. John.
Yeah.
What are you going for?
I'm going for a podcast called Reply All. It's by Gimlet Media. and it's hosted by PJ Vogt and Alex Goldman. And what it is on the surface, it is documentaries about the internet, but it's not. Like, it's fascinating. There's an episode called Zardulu, which is about rats that might be set up in New York to do stunts. There's an episode where there's a Facebook group about a fake office set up by this Australian teenager, and it's a pretend Facebook group. Like, they're like, oh, someone changed the ink in the thing, and then thousands of people join this and start joining in the joke, and because he's an Australian teenager, he hates the fact that everyone's getting involved on his joke.
I've got to listen to that.
It's brilliant. And I would recommend it to anyone. And if anyone wants, tweet me and I'll give you like the top five episodes, because it is one of those ones where there's over 100 already.
I'm going to tweet you and ask you for the top five episodes. Oh, here we go, Boyd. Look, don't say The Unmissables because we're on our way out, so it can't be your favourite podcast, even though I know it is.
I'm going to choose my own podcast.
Boyd's going to choose the next incarnation of this.
Yeah, that's going to be the best one, yeah. No, whatever it's called. I wanted to mention Dear Joan and Jericho, which was this year.
Yeah.
With Vicky Pepperdine and Julia Davis.
I still haven't listened to that yet. I really need to.
Oh.
It's really funny, isn't it?
I'm glad I mentioned it.
Yeah, I need to.
Because I think that's the funniest. So there's all kinds of genres of podcasts. You've both chosen factual, kind of documentary podcasts, really. But this is it's a comedy podcast of these two brilliant comedy actresses playing characters of the world's worst givers of advice,
agony aunts,
but it's more almost like sexual advice,
right?
And they're so rude and they're so horrible, and they dig really deep into nasty, horrible rudeness that it's you're going to be too shocked.
Oh, I don't know whether I can watch.
Not sure if I can. You'd have to watch it. You're too prude. Yeah, too prude.
I am.
It's not for prudes.
Okay,
that's a warning. So that's my favorite comedy podcast. I think it's absolutely the funniest one I've ever heard. But my favorite podcast, I have to say, you know, when I was thinking about it, I was looking at the ones I've subscribed to. It's Bret Easton Ellis' one, where it's been going for years, and he's now does it.
I don't even know what it is.
Oh, it's been going. Annoying thing, he did it for years free as a normal kind of podcast, and it was basically him and celebrity guests. Kanye West was one of the very first ones he did. Like,
what is it?
2.5 hour.
What's
podcast.
It called again?
It's the Bret Easton Ellis podcast. BEE. Literally, that is what it's called. The Bret Easton Ellis podcast. And there's loads of ones you can go in the. And he had a different famous guest every week. A lot of it was about film and TV. He's a big film geek. And he would have directors and scriptwriters. There's a brilliant episode with the scriptwriter of Mad Max Fury Road, who also worked on the 50 Shades script and then was kind of taken off it and stuff. And he would rant every week his thoughts about films. He would slag off big hit films, and he'd talk about how films are so much better than TV because of the atmosphere of films. This went on for years and years, and then suddenly he decided to completely change his mind and said TV's better than film.
Sounds great.
It was so funny, and he's so pig-headed and politically incorrect. And it's brilliant. And you could do like a drinking game where he mentions his boyfriend every week, who's a 20-something boyfriend. You know, he'd go on about that every single week.
Oh,
and it was
good.
Hilarious and brilliant. He still does it, but now it's one of those things. You know that thing where you have to pay? Patreon, is it?
Yeah.
Which I don't really understand how it works, which, you know, I should do. It's like a thing. So now you have to pay. You kind of donate to the Patreon thing to be able to hear. So it's still going, his podcast, but I've stopped listening to it because it's no longer free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast.
It's a bit of a flawed system because you donate and then I think they send you like MP3s rather than it being on your podcast app, which isn't ideal.
Yeah, so it's annoying. So because it does take up a lot of his time. So he decided he wanted to get people to somehow
pay.
So one day I will actually work out how to get hold of
that'd
it
be good.
By paying.
I mean, be good if you'd done that already.
You can get the archive anyway and it's brilliant.
Okay.
Bret Easton Ellis podcast.
You get the archive free.
The archive's still there on iTunes.
Okay, we'll start with that.
Start with that.
Start with that and see if you want to pay.
Yeah. Thank you very much for another glorious podcast.
Wow, from the second to last time.
Second penultimime.
Penultimime.
Penultimate.
Oh.
I'm going to the premiere of the festival tonight, which is the film.
Oh, that film that you said wasn't rubbish, even though we didn't get to review it. You know, I was saying we didn't get to review it in time, and I said, Boyd usually tells me that if you don't get to review things in time, it means that the film's not very good. But then he said that he never said that, and it's actually not true.
There haven't been any screenings of it because they've literally finished it right up to to when it opens, which is tomorrow night. Tonight, if you're listening to this on Tuesday when they come out. Like, as with the Inbetweeners films, it's from that production company and director, and those films weren't available to review either, but they ended up being pretty funny.
Fine.
So we'll see.
What's the time check, John Dan?
It's been a lot.
Oh, 3 hours.
Oh, God. So just
it's been
average.
Edit. Tough edit. Poor John's been busy.
He's got to edit it tonight.
Well, I'm sitting there watching this film, having a time of my life. John's going to be beavering away.
Crying into a laptop.
Yeah, trying to edit that really terrible bit where I said that thing.
Yeah, all that libel.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, It's a goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from me.
See you next week.